Welcome to Super Late at 368. I'm your host, Gabe Olivero. And also, just so you know, right, before I introduce you to this phenomenal, amazing, spectacular, my sister, my co-host, only person I want to do this with, this entire production, which for some, you know, there's always something going on with it, is entirely powered by Main Gears. We figured out how to have a control room just in a PC. So thank you, Main Gear, for providing the PCs. It's dope. But our co-host, the woman of the hour, the woman with the power, the woman with heat, fire, flame, and fuego. I just said fire and heat.
My
just three different
machine
ways.
Doesn't work anymore.
Good. I turned that soft that smoke machine off. It's hey! NARS.
No, I want my smoke machine.
That shit's off.
I want
bro.
To be the villain at least for this
you
show.
You can go ha ha ha
it
without
mean
it.
Mean anything if I don't have the smoke to back it up?
I mean, look, if you didn't know, we have a smoke machine behind NARS, and I absolutely
I have my machete at least. Though.
Hate it. She stole the machete from me. I had it earlier. You jacked me. It's crazy.
It's not the only thing I'm going to jack from you.
Oh, what would you say?
It's not the only thing I'm going to jack from you.
Oh, she's over here throwing subs. Subs. What you been up to, NARS?
Also, this show is sponsored by Elgato and Main Gear.
There you go. The follow-up.
Yeah,
key light,
Elgato. Key lights and
you know,
everything.
Cam Link,
thank
Elgato.
Shout-outs to Elgato.
Move what? What are you moving?
Remove the nuts from the table.
Oh, the nuts. Oh, by the way, also, you didn't know. Sponsored by Gourmet Garage.
No.
Shop like a chef. Mixed nuts.
We wish. Yo,
overpriced.
What's up, Otaku? What's up, Super? Hello,
$8
chat.
Nuts.
Welcome. Yes, we are live right now. So if you don't know, if you're watching this on YouTube, sometime later in the week, we do the show live. So Literally, we talk to chat. We tell you about what's going on, the latest and greatest in esports and gaming and all that good stuff. How was your week, though, by the way?
You know, today was the highlight of the day, of the week. I got some Lululemon sweatpants.
Are those what
and
you're wearing?
And girl, when I mean these sweatpants, let me tell you, right? Flexy, sexy. That's all I'm gonna say.
You said they were baggy though around.
I know. I need to like. I need to go take them to my tailor and get them tapered in. You know, to get that nice.
I'll cut them for you right now. Hacha.
Yo, you're just trying to kill me. What's wrong with you, man?
I need excuses.
Yo, what did they teach you in DR?
How to cut shit.
Oh. What's you been up to? How's your week been so far?
All right, guys. So up this week, there's a lot.
I asked you how your week was. You went right into the news.
Okay, fine. My week was pretty dope. I played more Phasmophobia. I'm playing Phasmophobia every single Saturday. I am cosplaying as Velma from Scooby-Doo. So literally with the gang.
I think I saw it on your TikTok.
Paranormal Investigating. You want to check that out?
You do that on your TikTok, right?
Yep, I did.
Yeah, that's right. Sorry.
Yeah. I have a TikTok if y'all don't know.
No.
I'm trying to get my
it's NARS. Just NARS 2 on TikTok.
_NARS. I don't have NARS on TikTok.
She needs.
We gotta change that.
You're verified on Twitter. We gotta get that.
I'm trying to get verified on Instagram. So if there's any clothing peeps out there that wants to do stuff, collabs with 368. We are both clothing gaming people. So
I'm not verified though. She's cooler than me.
We can get you there. We'll get you there.
Oh, can I get a social media makeover? Can I get some coaching?
I can coach you.
Oh wow, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, what happened this week in the news?
So, today in news, if you guys have been living under a rock, because even politicians know about this, AOC was live streaming with people like Pokimane, TSM Myth, Dr. Lupo, Jacksepticeye.
Can I pause you for once? Just one.
What happened?
Because you've been triggering me all night when you say this. It's not Pokimane, it's Pokimane. Not Pokimane, it's Pokimane.
Okay, fangirl.
Yes, I have to stand by the queen, bro. I'm good now. I decided
to say
that.
Pokimane. Did I say it right?
Pokimane. There you go. Or Imani. It's
like
up to
Pokemon.
You. You know, whatever you want to say.
Pokimane was also on there. It's really funny because I think when AOC was, when they first started playing, she was praying to God that she wouldn't get imposter first. And guess what happened?
The devs were orchestrating the whole thing.
Probably. Damn. She got imposter first. And I think her first kill was Pokimane.
Yeah, it was so funny. She was like, "Oh, I don't want to kill Pokey. She's so sweet." And then
so
just rap. But my favorite part of that very first game is that Detective Myth, the homie, the boy, he saw her kill. He's like, "Well." I'm just not gonna say anything. But I saw Pokimane go into a secret control room, and AOC came out, and Pokimane's dead. And I thought that was funny that Myth saw that. Also, disguised Toast tried to carry her in the beginning, and it was like. It all got sus and figured out, but dude, it was crazy. That was at 400, I think, what, 60,000?
Over almost 500,000 views. At 480,000 max concurrent views.
I think 8 million views total.
Yeah. It's who else? It was
Jahan, Hassan. Yeah. Hassan. There was also, it was Toast is part of Disguise Toast, Jacksepticeye.
They were all streaming it.
What was that? Quarks.
Oh, yeah, Quirks. There was a lot of streamers. But, like, this is the new thing because this is the first time we've ever seen a politician jump on Twitch and stream with other streamers. Is this, like, the future of a political campaign?
100%. And, you know, right now we're teasing. I'm going to put it out there just because why not? We're hoping to get AOC on the show. And definitely this is going to be, like, a topic talking about, like, how Twitch is going to come into play with, like, politicians and, like, the campaign role and et cetera. Because, I mean, the audience, you're, like, you want to talk to the youth, right? The millennials, the Zoomers, and all that. And this is where people spend their time on Twitch, YouTube, et cetera. It's not the typical ways you used to. So, I mean, it was a very natural fit to have AOC. It felt very genuine. It felt very real. It was just a great night. Everybody I know who watched said, yo, this is fucking dope. I mean, it's also just gaming and live streaming being taken even more seriously now than ever. Just, like, having that, like, cosign from AOC was beautiful.
I mean, and it's also pretty cool. I hope she does stream again. Hopefully, we'll get her on the show because I feel like there's a lot to talk about, especially when considering that a lot of gamers have the power to vote. Yep. So this was, and I feel like you said, it seems so authentic and so genuine. I didn't feel like it was a propaganda deal, and everyone that says that is dumb. You didn't watch the show.
Yeah, I mean, I personally, I'm always, since I always look at things as Hollywood, everybody's got a, she's a politician today, right? She works in all, she holds office. I'm like, yeah, the style of, hey, I think I'm going to stream today. I was like, nah, she probably knew she was going to stream that day. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, yeah, we're going to sell that narrative. But it still worked. I mean, everything was great. And the fact that everybody rallied around her, Pokimane, Myth, it was so crazy how it cascaded very quickly to all these people like, I want to play with AOC, mm-hmm. which shows the power that AOC has with the youth today compared to other people like on the campaign road and like in office, etc.
I mean, she's self-funded, guys. So just
let And she's
know.
From the Bronx.
And she's from the Bronx. She's actually my congresswoman. Is she yours?
No, I'm Brooklyn.
Okay, so yeah.
She's my congresswoman in Brooklyn?
No. She's Bronx and Queens.
Yeah, no, I have a different congresswoman. Yeah, I always see her photo. She's older.
She's older. Anyways, moving on. When it comes to serious topics, though, obviously voting is definitely a serious topic. Be sure to vote. Your vote matters. But moving on, when it comes to Twitch streamers, a lot of them are getting slapped with DMCA, legal issues, obviously. I feel like COVID has definitely shown the fragility of certain industries, including streaming. So when it comes to, like, playing copyrighted music on your Twitch stream, you have to be super careful considering that, like, a lot of the big companies, Columbia Records, Warner Brothers, they're coming after Twitch partners. What are your thoughts about that?
I'm gonna tell you right now, right? This is a very simple message. There's a great thing you can use if you're worried about DMCA. It's called Stream Beats by Harris Heller. There you go. All your DMCA problems are now solved. Look up Stream Beats, Stream Beats, Stream Beats, Stream Beats. I'm a Stream Beats fan because I love Harris Heller. But yeah, no, I mean, it's ridiculous, right? Because this also ties into something I think we can bring up right after, which is thing with Google Stadia. It's like to say, that you... There's a bunch of people who have an entire backlog of music that's just been, like, in the background. That content's getting nuked and their work is getting nuked. And it's just like... Dude, why are we doing this? If anything, we've improved. I remember, perfect example, my first experience with Twitch, streamer named Day9 TV, StarCraft caster and host. You know about Day9? Yep. So he was playing an album that was like one of my first experiences to lo-fi, and it was by Blue Sky Black Death. I didn't know who it was. He brought it up, and I was like, yo, this beat is dope. Yo, what's the thing? Oh, it's by this artist. I pulled it up in love. I put so many people onto that artist. That right there, word of mouth, marketing, cost you nothing. Like, what are you losing out having the music on these people's things? And I'm pretty sure it's not entirely all the artists, and it's mainly, like, you know, the record label. So, like, we want our money. Like, this is, like, a whole thing, like, fucking Kanye's in a battle with like, his label, like, over masters and stuff. And it's weird because, like, certain artists would be, like, Logic, I think Logic's one of the, like, cooler guys on the platform. He'd be like, hey, if you hit him up and ask him for, like, can I use this? Like, you won't get claimed on none of that stuff. It's weird, man. I think maybe, like... I think we got to hear from the actual artists who own the music what they think of it instead of, like, letting the record labels dictate anything. But what do you think?
I think it's stupid. Like you said, if I'm rocking out to your music on my stream, that's marketing for you. And I think that's just obviously stupid because it's like not many people are on the road. Not many people are using radio. A lot of people are home right now. Or they're chilling to their favorite streamers or stuff like that. But if you want to undermine someone else's content creation, then fine. You don't have to be in my world. You can be completely 1000% out. Bye, Felicia. I don't need your music.
That's it.
Bye. Like, I use Pretzel Rocks, and I love Pretzel Rocks because it syncs with your Twitch channel. So, like, the bot actually says, oh, this is what's playing. You can click on it right in the chat and then go buy it. Go check it out on SoundCloud. Go check out the artist, and Harris Heller is on there, too.
Yeah, and, you know, to like I said earlier, let's use this as a segue to one of the next topics. That
why don't we do it?
Yep. So if you didn't know earlier today, I don't have his name off the top of my head. Maybe you do. One of the heads over at Google Stadia.
I will help you out right now.
You got me. What's his name?
Well, keep talking.
Okay, so he made a statement pretty much saying that at some point, creators, streamers, anybody who creates content that uses video games, for example, as the medium, as the pathway, should be paying for licensing to use the content, right? Which was, everybody got tight. Everybody I know got mad because it's like, what do you mean? Like the healthy ecosystem of having a serious streamer community and a serious creator community behind games make things great. Look at Among Us. Among Us, nobody knew about Among Us till what happened recently. Now you have 400,000, 500,000 people watching the thing, AOC on Wednesday. What is the value of that? Like why do I need to pay licensing? Like, what I'm bringing to the table is so much more. And it's just a weird way where companies are just trying to get more money out of the creators, which is just like, so what? We're only going to allow people who have the resources to now have access to these things to make content around them. Some of the best creators had nothing and started streaming with nothing and played games that nobody cared about. And they made them important and popular. So it's like, it's stupid as fuck and so out of touch. I don't understand like why that was even said today. But he was getting flamed online.
Alex Hutchinson.
Now, granted, I respect the heel approach because he also doubled down in his being a villain, because someone made a comment and he also made a backhanded comment. So I appreciate being a douchebag because I like heels in wrestling. But it's just like, how does that work? You're a streamer. You create content on video games consistently. Are you going to pay for a license?
Well, I mean, so for context, for those who don't know, Alex Hutchinson is the creative director at Google Stadia. I don't give a shit.
Stadia.
Anyways, the whole point is that he was saying, and he said that, so this is what his tweet said. He said, the real truth is the streamers should be paying the developers and publishers of the games they stream. They should be buying a license like any business and paying for the content they use. Now, there's two things that I want to argue with that. First of all, if I'm already paying for the game, that itself is my contribution to the publisher developer. So shut the fuck up. Second of all, who the fuck are you as a creative director coming into my DMs? Oh, so he didn't go into my
DMs. Yeah, he didn't come into your DMs.
Coming into Twitch saying that shit. Like, dude, you're paying creators to fucking promote Stadia. Like, yeah. Stadia, whatever the fuck. See, now I don't give a shit anymore. So it just goes to show you how much he's just literally a douchebag.
Yeah,
not. I don't think he's fit to be a creative director.
Okay, I mean that's. I mean,
I mean
a creative director
role
is a little bit different. I mean, I'm like a little creative director role is a little different. Maybe he's not in charge of marketing. How about that? Like,
no,
he should not
God,
be in charge of marketing.
But whatever.
Creative director, maybe you know he designed the logo. You know, and it's a nice logo, but you know it's whatever. Yeah, no, it's just like it would be the dumbest thing in the world. Because then it's like it creates a floodgate that could happen where like, okay, where does it stop? Is it just video games? Is it now tech reviewers who review cameras? Oh, no, you need to pay for a license to have our camera in this video. Like it just adds another
That's
wall.
That's crazy.
Exactly. It adds another wall that doesn't need to be fucking climbed and doesn't need to be there because it's the internet. What else we got going on?
Well, thankfully, we can move on from that. So Poach joins Anbox. He's the new pro Valorant player for Anbox. But we also have other news about Anbox as well that you were mentioning.
Oh, yeah. So NYXL, they got rid of about three or four of their players. And the main players who were left were, of course, Sabiobi, SBB, and then Jonak, who are both the faces of the NYXL brand, which is, of course, the strongest brand that Anbox manages. As if you guys don't know, New York City company, New York City org, they have, you know, New York City Subliners and New York City Excelsiors. And I thought that it was... So the conversation I want to have was, it's interesting, right? You dropped the majority of the roster. And I'm pretty sure the reason why they're not going to say that Jonak or SBB is like falling off anyway, but I'm pretty sure you kept them specifically because they have the highest fan base, most jersey sales. If you got rid of both of them with the team, you'd probably lose your entire community. Like, what do you mean? You just got rid of everybody we love. What the fuck is this? So it's like, how strategic now esports brands have to be in this landscape where it's like, well, we can't get rid of like our, it's like Faker being on T1. And I mean, Telecom, SK Telecom. It's like, you're not going to get rid of Faker. Like, you know how many people buy Faker jerseys? It's like, that's millions of dollars in Faker jerseys. You tell me, Faker's always got a job on the team, bro. Mm-hmm. And he plays just good enough where we can qualify. So he's always on the team. It's like, how do you, if you were esports, if you were a manager and owned a team, what would you do like with that type of situation?
I would do the same thing. I would, because you got to think about it at the end of the day. And I think this is why Nadeshot is turning towards content creation and moving away from esports is that like, yeah, the money is at esports at the end of the day, but there's a whole nother world of just creating content, being a casual like not being competitive, being a casual gamer, and then making bank on merchandising around those content creators, and then just doing, and then start doing partnerships with like other brands in and outside of gaming to then leverage that kind of community. That's where the money is now. It's the lifestyle of gaming. It's the outside of esport lifestyle of gaming, because yeah, everyone watches like competitive, everyone watches LCS, but a lot of people don't watch LPL. A lot of people don't watch the other region. A lot of people don't keep up with the competitive, but they will keep up with the lore. They will keep up with the characters, and they will keep up with the skins. Same thing with the professional players. They'll keep up with the pros live, especially if they have like really good socials. Yeah. But it's not going to be the pro scene. I mean, that's why Faker is taking a step back, and he's becoming...
He's an owner.
He's an owner now.
I mean, you could think like
Big Daddy Faker.
Big Daddy Faker. I mean, the biggest League of Legends face is pretty much Tyler 1. He got signed to T1 too recent. I think, wait, was that recent or that just been a while? Anyway, I'm probably lost in the sauce. But Tyler 1, like another one, right? Like he's like a massive content creator. And he's the person who innovated Top Gap, Bot Diff, Jungle Diff, or whatever it is. And like the merching sales on that alone. I think I've seen people who don't even, I know who play League crazy, who have winnable tanks.
Yeah.
It's like what?
I know people who don't know about League of Legends and know about Faker. And I'm like, aren't they non-exclusive? Like, aren't they the same? Like, they're synonymous. Hello?
Like they go hand in hand. You can't know about basketball without Michael Jordan. Like, what are you talking about?
Anyway, speaking of Michael Jordan, how about Miles Morales? I know that's like a stretch, but whatever.
That's a big-ass stretch, especially because he doesn't have Jordans on.
Yo. Fucking that's tight. Something to talk about. Okay, for first of all, before we get into that conversation, you guys can get Spider-Man. If you beat Spider-Man on the PlayStation 4, if you want Miles Morales minifigure, you have until October 29th to be able to do that. You literally get like a Miles Morales Lego minifigure. It's a sweepstakes that's happening right now with GameSpot. So go check that out. More details will be on our Twitter. And that's pretty much it. But yeah, yo, I saw you tweet about that. How is he not from New York?
It's so not even just like from New York. It's like Miles Morales is Puerto Rican and black, and he is from fucking Brooklyn. And Jordan 1s are fucking heir to us. And speaking as a Puerto Rican man from Brooklyn. And that original design that came out with Into the Spider-Verse was the flyest Spider-Man design I've seen in a long time. I was like, dude, I'm so connected to this right now. This is amazing. Hey, fuck it. You don't want to give him Jordan 1s? Get some Tims on him. Get some dead asses on him. That's it. Because Adidas shell top high tops, that's some like you like European or like you like in Canada. Like that's not New York. That's definitely not Brooklyn. It definitely ain't hip hop or what was going on with like the shoe they chose out of all the shoes. And it was just like so weird. Like, dude, you had a beautiful design. Why compromise it? Did you like the design? Because I think those shoes were ugly as fuck they put on them.
To be honest, I'm not a sneakerhead.
Ah, okay.
So even if I were to look at them, I'd be like, are they comfortable? You know?
Are they functional?
Are they functional?
Well, it's funny because there was art. I think the reason why they switched up the sneaker is because they couldn't get the licensing from Jordan Brand. It's probably going to cost a lot to have that. Because like I saw art pass around of him with the Jordan 1, the one he had, the Jordan 1 Chicago's, without the swoosh on them. And it was just like the red shoe, with like the white gap, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that was the issue. Like, oh, we're not going to pay like this. You know, Jordan Brand and Nike saw, oh, shit. Yeah. Into the Spider-Verse was a huge success. We want more money out of that because you had our sneaker on there.
But now, do you think, so like now retrospectively, do you think now they're like, oh shit, we fucked up. We could have been a part of this whole thing. We could have done a partnership, a deal,
Yeah, like we got Marissa in chat right now saying Into the Spider-Verse is the GOAT Spider-Man movie. It is the GOAT superhero movie. Mm-hmm. That shit, literally, if you're from New York or Chicago, any inner city, whatever it is, you watch Into the Spider-Verse and you know somebody who's like that or you're that kid. Mm-hmm. Like you connect with that shit on another level.
The soundtrack alone, I ain't.
Needless to say, I keep a track. She was on my way, nevertheless.
Co-side. I would, you know, honestly, there needs to be more like swag that has the aesthetic of like Spider-Man, you know, Marvel comics.
Yeah.
I would rock like a high-low Marvel skirt. Does that sound like, I know the girls in chat probably.
Of course, they're like, oh my God, I can see.
High in the front, low in the back, like Marvel.
So this is like above the waist kind of like.
No, it's just like how the length is. Okay. So it kind of looks like it flows.
Okay, I wear sweatpants like year round. You're losing me right now.
All
right,
anyway. I'll make it, yo.
Design it.
If you design it, we will wear it.
Or how about you design it?
I design it.
And then you debut it. Talk to Holly. She'll make it.
I can't make anything.
You could collaborate with Holly. Holly can make it. She's a
singer. Anyways, moving on. NBA 2K21. Oh, look, my boy
Jose, who's a fashion designer, he'll make it. Let's talk.
Listen, if you can make it, I will advertise the shit out of that.
I'll connect you
to. I'll market that. We can start a fashion line. Let's go, girl. NBA 2K2 adds unskippable ads despite being a full price game. What are your thoughts about that?
$65, $75, $65 to $70 game. Sorry, I'm chewing some macadamia nuts. Why am I paying for ads? It's the reason why Quibi died. Why am I paying for ads?
Well, we haven't even gotten to that
one. I just had to throw it out there in the beginning. But, you know, we'll get to that soon. But why am I paying for ads
when I'm giving you mad money? Listen, I'm the news chick, okay?
I know. I'm just.
You want my job? I can take the host job if you like.
You can go ahead. You can take that. That's what I thought.
So, despite that, 2K Games issued an apology how the advertisements were going to be implemented. They will not be removing them, even though they apologized for them. But they did say it wasn't going to be as prominent as before. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I don't either.
But to be quite fair and honest, I am not playing a game where it has advertisements in.
Yeah, like what the... I'm here to play ball, bro. I'm not here to watch ads.
Seriously, like
just so this, I guess they're definitely making money off those ads. Oh God, the macadamia nuts are choking me. 2K's killing me. Oh shit.
Drink some water.
Oh God.
Okay. Anyways, we'll
shit was on. Trash. That's why I was coughing.
Cyberpunk 2077. Oh, are you about to die?
No, I was like, because that.
Oh, I thought you. I was like, damn. No. I gotta smack you with this machine to keep you alive? Damn. New release date after delayed microtransactions, gameplay, and more thoughts. Come on.
So, I thought there was gonna be microtransactions. I mean, like, right with this Cyberpunk 2077, with the amount of customization they're baking into the game, you'd be an idiot to not have some sort of microtransactions linked to, like, cosmetics and stuff. Because people are gonna. This is definitely. Like, The Witcher, people are still playing The Witcher 3. This is going to be a game, if it's done right by this company, and it's slightly smaller than Witcher 3. Mm-hmm. People are going to play this for years and years and years. So I think it's okay to have, especially because CD Projekt Red puts so much content into mm-hmm. their games. You're not getting a $65 game. You're getting a $200 game.
I am so excited. I'm so freaking, I'm literally.
What's the date?
For the game?
Yeah. You put it there?
It doesn't say here.
Ah, so it doesn't matter. So why are you so excited?
I personally, like, obviously I'm a big fan of CD Projekt Red. CD Projekt Red? Did I say that right?
CD Projekt Red.
Yeah, CD Projekt. I don't know why I had a brain fart. Is it CD Red Projekt? Big fan of them. I love The Witcher 3. And I love the whole concept of this game. You could literally, there's so many different ways you can play this game. Like, just from the get-go, it looks absolutely amazing. And my husband, Keanu Reeves, is in it. And he's singing.
I feel like I hear there's always a new husband every other day.
I know.
It's like, my husband Keanu Reeves. Oh, my husband Faker. Oh, my husband T1. It's like,
yeah. No, Faker's definitely not my husband. Double Lift is my husband.
Oh, shit. She picking the face of the TSM. Bro. I think I take
Hell
Faker.
Yeah. That's well, like, he's the face of a lot of things. Oh. But move.
If you don't know, I can't explain it to you. I'm sorry.
Alrighty.
You have to be into league.
Moving on into hardware, I know Samsung and Apple are probably going to have a contention. Samsung just reported that they would be debuting their next Galaxy S phone January 2021. So Android fans, you're in luck. Samsung hasn't left you in the dark, but obviously, it's gonna be cool. I know you're not a Samsung fan. I know you're an Apple fan.
But see you right here.
Talk to me. Right. Talk to me about how you feel about Samsung. Unbiasedly, come on.
You see, it's rare.
Oh my God!
Praise be to the apple, bro. Praise be to the apple, right? I'm vegan. I eat apples. Let's get that straight. I've had in my life, I've had a Galaxy S3, I've had a G1, and those are my entire experiences having Android phones. I don't like the OS or operating system, so that's why I switched back to Apple. And I think that Apple for me is a better device. I know for some people, they don't like Apple, and that's totally fine because it's not as, you know, free and open and whatever you want to say. I think Apple products are better by default across the board. They work better. They last longer. And yeah, I mean, it's like you're never going to make the only company that can make a phone that would make me like consider switching would have to be like a Tesla makes a phone or Google, which is the only other phone I've ever considered. Like, oh, maybe I'll get the Google Pixel. The Samsung, like, Galaxies or stuff like that, like, never really been a big fan. Also, like, I don't like the designs. Like the Omni camera.
It's pretty. Like this, I have the
Look
Samsung.
At that brick in your pocket.
I have a Samsung too, so this is a Samsung.
Yo, here, hold my phone next to your phone.
All right.
Look at the girth on that shit.
Okay.
Can we get a zoom in? Turn to the side. Get the side profile. Oh, look at that. That's a computer. That's not a fucking phone.
Listen. Ain't nobody going to come after me in the dark because I will pop, pop, pop.
Throw it at their head and give them a concussion.
Hell yeah.
I mean, the phone is gonna be super overpriced, right? It's gonna be like probably $1,000. They're probably gonna have a cheaper version because Apple's doing like, you know, smaller versions now for their phones. I mean, I think that if you have a phone from the last year, or last 2 years, you shouldn't get one of the new phones because you're just kind of throwing your money away in a time you shouldn't throw your money away. You know, I had to fight that urge to get the new phone, the new iPhone, by getting little lemon chocolates. A little bit of consumerism had to just like. I had to buy something. And I was like, let me pick the lesser of two evils. And that was it. So maybe go buy something else that's not $1,000 to like not.
All right, so let me ask you this question. This ties into the next one. As an Apple user, do you think they should change their chargers to a USB-C?
Yeah, absolutely. Like who else, like why? We already have USB-C charging for the MacBook Pros. We have USB-C charging for, I believe, the iPads, the new iPads. We have USB-C charging for lightning bolt to USB-C charging for the phones. Just go USB-C because everybody in the world is using USB-C. It's better. And if you really cared about the environment, you know, you would just like create something that I don't have to get a new wire for, right? Because you're no longer putting chargers in the box. I have to go buy a charger now if I want a charger or lost a charger. It just make life simple, right? Apple's always about we're making simple products that work great, that do one thing, and that's what we like to do. So make the charger simple.
Breaking news.
Okay, here you go.
Are you guys ready for this? Breaking news. Bethesda was sued for $100 million because they apparently allegedly, which is going to be obviously brought into court, allegedly sabotaged Rune 2 to protect the Elder Scrolls. They sabotaged another publisher's freaking game so that their game would be more successful.
I fuck with it.
What?
I fuck with it. I'm all about cheating the system, bro. It's like, you know, it's like I got a game coming out, right? We're competing in the most competitive industry, which is gaming, right? And people can't get refunds. Well, usually they couldn't get refunds. Now, you know, through Steam, you can get a refund if you only play 2 hours of a game. So I was like, I'm going to do anything in my possibility, in my power, to maximize my dollars. And if that means I got to sabotage Rune 2, you best believe I'm sabotaging Rune 2 because Elder Scrolls 6 is going to be fire. Elder Scrolls Skyrim was fire. Elder Scrolls Oblivion, fire. We can keep going back. Morrowind, fire. What's Rune? Rune 1, Rune 2. Only Rune I know is RuneScape.
Wow.
Only Rune I know is RuneScape.
But the thing is, at the end of the day, is that like if big companies like Bethesda can continually squish the small guys, then you're not going to get a lot of cool, chill games like indie games.
I'm going to say yes and no. And the reason why I'm going to say no is because in today's era where people have crowdfunding, and so many things have been funded and supported just because people love the thing. I've seen things happen just from just that. Like, if you have a great product and it has a great story, you will find the money. There's no way to not find the money in 2020. That's what the internet's all about, opportunity. So, I mean, maybe Rune 2 was just not popping.
So I want to read this verbatim because I do see in chat that people are asking, like, what does this hypothetically?
Thank you, Holly.
I see you, Holly. So publisher Ragnarok Game has amended a lawsuit against Human Head Studios, suing Bethesda for $100 million. Apparently, the suit alleges that Human Head contacted Bethesda and ZeniMax about a potential acquisition without notifying Ragnarok, and then later provided the publisher with keys to pre-release version of Rune 2. Then 2 weeks prior to Rune 2 launch, ZeniMax allegedly formed Roundhouse Studios and use the company to purchase all of Human Head's equipment and take over its lease, which Ragnarok allegedly contained trade secret sources and materials related to the game. So they literally did everything behind their back.
I'll be honest with you. I was eating these nuts. All I heard was, we tight because
okay, so
we lost.
I know how you feel about this, so we're going to move on.
Listen, me and Holly are on the same side here. You weren't going to beat Bethesda. They make better games, and wow. It's just like,
holy,
yo.
Holy, indeed. I know.
The
Lee,
evil, listen,
cow.
If this was Star Wars, I'm always on the Empire side. Fuck the Rebellion. Mm-hmm. So, like, let's go. Let's go, Todd Howard.
Let's go, Todd Howard. For anyone who's, so we're just gonna go through the others because they're kind of noticeable, but they're news that just needs to be told. Oracle founder donated about $250,000 to Graham Pack in final days of TikTok deal. Apparently, the CEO Larry Ellison donated $250,000 to a super PAC supporting Senator Lindsey Graham, who is trying to be reelected for their campaign. That's sketch. What do you think?
I'm too much of an idiot, so I can't really give my take on this. What do you think?
It's an unusually large donation, first of all, for a politician.
I need a hydrate check. We got a hydrate check.
You can hydrate.
You're not going to hydrate? We got
to. It's so far away.
That's from Joe Lager, bro.
Look how far it is. It's over. I can't reach it.
What do you think about it?
I honestly, like, see, the timing of the large donation is a bit. Is what irks me, you know, considering that TikTok is on the verge of potentially being banned from the United States by Trump.
Didn't that get already, like, since Oracle got it, like, isn't that already done?
No, I mean, it's still kind of like in limbo.
Can we still talk about this shit? What the fuck?
Yeah.
People just make up their mind. Just let the people twerk.
What?
Let the people twerk and let China watch me twerk. That's fine.
Fuck. But there are some legalities
there. There are some legalities.
I mean, I'm a TikTok fan. Like, I watch TikTok.
She big on TikTok.
I'm not like big on TikTok.
She big on, like, she loves TikTok.
I love it. I wish I was.
Yo, if they want to see me dance in my underwear, it's fine. Oh, we can have a party. You know, we can enjoy the moment. Let everybody be free, man. It's like, whatever. China makes all our phones anyway. They probably got secret devices in them that we don't even know about. Like, if you really cared about it. Like, well, like, what are we talking about? It's a fucking. Sorry, it's like. I know.
Shall I move on?
Do you have any more thoughts?
I love TikTok. Thank you. Follow me.
Closing thoughts.
TikTok at @1_NARS. Thanks.
@1_NARS.
Moving on. Facebook VP says the platform rejected more than 2 million ads for trying to obstruct voting. I would say voting. Thank you. Thank you for finally doing something, Facebook. I think it's about freaking time, I'm just gonna say. And 2 million ads.
I want to know who the ads were paid for by. I want to know where they're coming from, because that's also interesting. Like, okay, like, where, like, who, is it Proud Boys who are paying for this? Is the Trump administration paying for this? Is it, like, who's paying for? I want to know, because that's a pretty interesting story to find out, like, who's doing these types of things. But also, like, you know, like she said, Facebook shitty PR this entire year and the year before that and probably the year before that. So this is a nice little win for the Zucks there, buddy. You're doing great. Yeah. You're doing the good thing.
Considering that it's possible that they deleted billions of posts and fake accounts, like, that were trying to be able to sabotage. Like, apparently, the company partnered with, like, 70 different media outlets to do this, including 5 in France to verify information.
Oh, so they had to get an entire.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's like, it's CIA up in this motherfucker.
Oh, these they're going through shit.
Yeah,
oh,
they really are. So. Guys, and it could be anything. Like, if you start saying hate speech now, you can get literally, like, flagged for that. Even if it's something like, I'm not gonna repeat it. So, like, if you make fun of people, it's really bad.
Okay.
Too. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I had my Cressa page got banned on Facebook.
Cressa's page got banned.
Yeah, because she said something about, like, don't. I think someone was attacking her for being very femme, and she was like, "Well, you're a straight white man. What do you know?" And I think she got.
Yeah, that's when it gets annoying, because, like, you put this thing, okay, we're gonna cancel out anything that has, like, hate speech, right? But hate speech can be, like, positioned in any way depending on who's on the receiving end.
Yeah.
And I was like, in that situation, it should be like neither one of them should get banned.
Neither one.
Whatever, they're having a little dispute, let them have a dispute. And it's like, that's when it gets funky, because now you have a company, like, moderating speech, which is just like, is that I mean, I kind of sound with Cressa. I'm always gonna sound with Cressa, but it's like. Yeah.
My thing is that it's okay to moderate speech. I think it's fine, especially considering if it's causing
on the
harm.
Individual level,
depending on what it is, and also, like, if it's really detrimental, like, yeah, really detrimental.
Like, if you're calling for, like, violence, like, create, exactly. Like, get rid of that. Like, that doesn't need to be there.
Exactly. Or inappropriate uses of, like, words, like the F word or the N word. Yeah. Like, absolutely no.
If Tyler One or NARS had a really bad solo queue game and she just wanted to go on and find that person on fucking the Rift and talk mad shit about them on Twitter, she shouldn't be banned. She should be able to voice her frustrations.
Let me go Let me go kill that mofo. I'm just kidding.
Fuck you. I can't see us in an ADC role. I played with you this morning. I hate you.
All right. The last thing I want to mention. Rip Quibi. Okay, there we go.
Oh,
that's all the news.
So we had a funny segment. I'm not going to say what it was. We can't do it because maybe in about a month.
Yeah.
Maybe about a month we'll do it. But
you guys will know in a month.
Yeah, we legally can't do it. No, I mean, it's gone. We've said it like several times on the show in the past that there's no way this thing survives, even though it has $1.7 billion, which is just like, I had an idea for a tweet, but it didn't fit, you know, the tone of us as a company. It was an aggressive tweet. It was like, you know, Quibi sure just gave the $1.7 billion to creators instead of blowing it away on shows nobody cared about. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody cared about these D-list shows. They had some great actors, but the shows were D-list. No one gave a fuck about it, right? And it felt like somebody was just doing a big favor to Jeffrey Katzenberg because, you know, he's done so much for, like, Hollywood and blah, blah, blah. Waste of money. Waste of money. Could have been done for so much more better. You could have gave NARS the money. You probably could have figured out something.
Hell
better
yeah.
Than that.
Give me the money. Give us both the money.
Give us 5% of the money. You don't even got to give it all the money.
I would have made better content and you guys would have been, you would have had that money in your pocket. That's what I'm
there you go. You would have had the rest of it.
Yeah.
You could have went to go blow it at Cabo or something or Bali. I don't know.
Cabo.
I don't know. What is the most bougiest place in 2020 to go to?
I don't know. Chat, you let us know. Go Google it.
But yeah, I mean, it was going to happen. They had ads, even though you paid to use the service. No desktop app. It was all mobile. You couldn't even screen record or screenshot. So meme culture, dead, which is essential to things in 2020, i.e. Sonic. And dumb old people who think they have ideas about what young people want to watch nowadays. Fucking up yet again.
If y'all boomers don't know by now, you don't know anything.
Get a couple zoomers on your staff. Yeah, get a couple millennials and they'll tell you what was hot. Oh, it's hot.
Or we'll point you in the right
exactly.
direction. Exactly. We'll point you in the right
Is direction. That all we have for
That's
today's
That's all we
news?
Have today. It's been your girl, Nars, here with the news.
The news girl. But coming up, we have a very special guest. We've known him for forever. Hip Hop Gamer's coming on, but we're going to go a quick break before we bring him up. Don't go anywhere. I'm watching you. All right, look. Okay. You're back. You know why you're here. We got a true gaming OG in the house, right? I've known this person since I was like 15. Nars is on him for like, I don't know how many years. Nars is like 21, but she's actually like 1,000. You know, she's been around forever.
I'm going to throw this fucking
shit. I knew she was going to look at me weird. But it is one of the greatest personalities, most iconic personalities in gaming music. He's Hot 97's very own crown gaming champion. It is the Hip Hop Gamer.
Yeah. You already know what it is, baby. Super late. 368 NYC, baby. I got the fam right here. You know what I'm talking about? My boy Gabe. All that energy. I love you. I love you, bro. And the one and only Nars in the building. This is my girl right here. So what's going on, baby? Yo, I appreciate y'all. Thanks for having me on. Let's get it popping, man. Real
Dude,
talk.
Do you ever like not come prepped? Like are you tired right now? Are you just on? Like
no.
What'd you have? Red Bull or something?
This is me. For as long as I've known hip hop, and this has been a long time, he's always been at this level. Always. You could be in the middle of E3. It is hot. It is sweaty. It's crazy. And he's just so hype all the time. Even if he's having a bad day, He's always hype.
So matter of fact, since you guys know each other for so long, why don't we talk about it? Like, how did you guys meet? Because you both have been in the gaming industry for, you know, a good amount of time. Two sides of the spectrum, two different angles. And like, you've seen it like grow. From just being this thing people did in their basements to what it is now, you're a content creator. How's it been?
I'll let you go first, hip hop.
Yo, it's been amazing. So I'm trying to remember how it all happened in terms of when I first met like Nars. It was so long ago. I'm trying to remember when I first met us. I don't know exactly like the moment when I said, hey, what's up? This is Nars, this is me and stuff like that. What I do know is when I started like overall and stuff like that, a lot of people started to get in tune to what I was doing. Because you got to remember, like, we're still the minority here. You know what I'm saying? We still, like, represent, like, 1% of the whole industry. So as we all started doing things, it could have been easily over Twitter or something like that where we discovered each other. But when we met and we got cool, yo, it was, like, fam for life easy. And I'm going to tell you why. So Nars and, just speaking for me, but for those that don't know her personally or whatever, Nars makes it easy for you to appreciate what you do and love what you do. She know, like, she's like a friend, a fan, and somebody that you can be inspired by. So when you have that combination, it's like family for life. So that's one thing I can say about Nas. That's, yo, God bless you, superstar. Always got to spend a chain on that one. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, like that's my how I feel about it. And we also worked together plenty of times as well. So that energy was always there. And to me personally, I take from everyone in terms of like energy as well. So a lot of stuff that you see from me, I give back from what I absorb from y'all. So, you know, like I said, it's a blessing both ways.
So matter of fact, so being in the game for as long as you have, right? I think like, what, 20 years at this point? What'd you say? A little bit less.
Well, I've been playing games since I was 4 years old.
Of course.
My grandmoms taught me, you know what I'm saying? So I've been playing games since I was 4 years old. But in the industry, I would say since 2007, December.
Oh,
December
wow.
2007, that's when I made my first video. Actually, December 16th, 2017, 2007 is when I made my first video.
Sorry. I thought I had a little bit of delay. You said you made your first video?
Yeah, I made my first video. You know what I'm saying? And what's so crazy is, like, Hip Hop Gamer, like, initially it was Hip Hop Gamers. And it was me and a friend of mine. And we did the show on Sunday. And we put it out on YouTube for the first time. And we just all excited, you know, to do this. And then literally the next week, he had a personal situation, and I'm like, I get that, but that can wait. And the reason why is because it was like his girl got mad or something like that because he didn't buy her something. Like, it was something like real immature.
Yeah.
But he put his so-called passion aside to just, you know, please this girl that he was with. And I was like, all right, well, I'm gonna continue. So Hip Hop Gamers became Hip Hop Gamer. And I never stopped. So that's actually how everything kept moving.
So I was telling Nas, like, I don't know if I recall a specific video, but I was telling, like, I remember, like, 2007, I think I was 14, 15. That's when I first saw, like, your content. I was like, this guy's pretty fucking crazy.
Wow.
From the beginning, did you already have the full gimmick with the championship belt, the chain? Like, did you know that's what you wanted to do? Like, what was the original Hip Hop Gamer like? Because I can't remember because it's been so long ago. And there's also people here who probably haven't went around at the beginning, right?
Got you. So check this out, man. Like, one, you know, like, it's not a gimmick. Like, you know, like, my energy, everything. Like, I'm really a hip hop artist and I'm really a gamer. Like, yeah. I do this. Like, you know what I'm saying? So the whole, like, chain and belt, I'm a big fan of wrestling, big fan of boxing. But in terms of personally, I always looked at myself as a champion because my grandmother always called me a champion. You understand? So I always loved having a belt, wrestling, you know, doing all this other stuff. So that was always a part of me, so to speak. And I felt like, let me show it off now. And so that's that part. The chain, I'm hip hop. You know what I'm saying? You know how he's got the big chain and stuff like that. So that was just my style. And then the third thing is, I'm not sure if y'all know, but from 2000 to 2014, I used to supervise the mailroom. So I worked with Universal Music Group, Interscope Records, Def Jam, Rockefeller Records, like all this other stuff. So I would see, you know, like Jay-Z, DMX, and Ja Rule, and, you know, 50 Cent, and all these people, like, on a regular basis because I'm at the office, like, you know, all day. So when I seen Jay-Z, like, this particular time, and it's just amazing how when a lot of these people walk in, like, everything just stops. Like, everybody just pay attention.
There's breath in the room. It's just...
Yeah, there's no breath in the room, bro. So when I was, you know, delivering mail and everything, and keep in mind, my energy's still the same. Like, I'm up here delivering mail, having conversations, bugging out with executives. Same thing here. Like, the energy was always there because that's just me. I'm a genuine, happy, blessed person. So what happened is I always wanted that, though. I always wanted to be able to walk into a room. And whatever's going on, when I walk in, the energy is going to change. The energy is going to shift because I want to bring something positive to the table. You know what I'm saying? So I always wanted that. So if nobody knows you, how does that happen? So when I got the belt, and then eventually years later, you know, with the chain, wherever I go, my energy, the appearance, the look, the shock factor, the wow factor, it was always there since day one. It always made me stand out. And the cool thing about it is, people got to know me because of it. And then when they got to know me, they loved me more so than the exterior because now they understand the truth. And that right there is like the blessing right there.
I want to piggyback off of this, and I'm so happy we finally have you on the show so I can ask these questions. But I remember a time hip hop where you were getting a lot of heat. And I remember this was like kind of like a couple, it was like maybe 5 or 6 years ago. You're getting a lot of heat from people. People were like really, like they were trying to make you validate yourself as a gamer. They were trying to, he's not a real gamer. Like he's just into hip hop and stuff like that. And I remember it was a lot. It was a lot of smack talk and stuff. Like talk to us about what happened and how you overcame that. Cause I think that was kind of like when you really popped off and people started taking you, not to say that they weren't taking you serious, but it's when you made yourself a professional being like, you better shut the F up because I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so that's a great question. So I'm going to share a couple of things with y'all that I'm not sure if everybody know yet. But so here's one thing, right? It was E3 and Xbox just finished doing their like conference and everything, right? And Peter Molyneux, if y'all remember Peter Molyneux and stuff like that, you know, with Fable and everything. That was the year where they made a big deal about the dog in Fable and stuff like that. But anyway, we was on a line. Right. And I'm telling you this story to give you an example of the fight that I had to go through based on what Nars asked. So it'll get deeper. So I'm on the line. Now, keep in mind, there's other people still behind me on this line. The line is to be able to get a couple of questions in with Peter Molyneux, speak with him. Right. So there was this lady that was in charge of the line. So the closer, you know, I got to the line, she gonna come to me only. She came to me only and pulled me to the side and told me that it's you know, we're about to you know, shut this down, so you may want to step to the side. So in my mind, I'm like, why would you come to me only and tell me that when there's other people behind me? Why not just make you know, like scream it out? Like, you know, why not just tell everybody, hey, this person's gonna be the last person to interview, so everybody else could go about their business and probably come back and try tomorrow. He didn't do that. So when that happened, I was like, that was strange. But I didn't, you know, leave. But I just felt it was strange. Now, when she pulled me to the side, you know, like kind of slightly out of the line, it made me stand out even more. I got this big belt on me. You know what I'm saying? So then I locked eyes with Peter Molyneux, and he waved to me. And I waved back, and I was like so excited. And then Peter Molyneux, shout out to Peter Molyneux, he went like this to me and told me to come here because I was literally about to be up next. So I came there. So now she can't, there's nothing that the other lady can do now.
She's out. Like, you know what I'm saying? Executive order right there.
Yeah, exactly. So now he brought me there. We had a great conversation. You know, my interviews is fire. My interviews is classic. So we did a crazy interview. It was dope. I put the belt on him and everything. It was crazy. And then after that, the lady that tried to get me out of here, you know, she came up to me and said, you know, that was the best interview that we had all day. Thank you so much. We appreciate you. And she connected with me and stuff like that. Now, what's so now to Nars's point, I had to deal with that for years, yo. Like my first year at E3, I went up to the IGN booth to say hi to everybody and try to meet some of the people that, you know, like I respect and love and watch and looked up to. And I don't remember this person because I never seen this particular person again, but they used to work for IGN and everything like that. But they was like, what are you doing here? Yeah. Like, it was very condescending. And I was like,
it was like, you don't look like a journalist, you know?
Yeah, like, I don't belong. So what was crazy to me is that, you know, I'm from the hood. I'm from East New York, Brooklyn. So, and, you know, when you grow up in the struggle and then also, you know, just being black and the way things are and stuff like that, you get enough of that type of stuff. So when you come to a place that's like where you think you're going to find the most passion, the most love, and the most fun, and the most acceptance, because we all having fun playing games, we grew up with this, you start to realize that the industry on the outside looking in is not what you think it is. And see, somebody like me, I'm on the inside and the outside. And when I mean I'm on the inside, I'm on the inside. Like, I'm in there. So when I see certain things, I'm like, nah, that ain't right. Or when I see certain things, I'm like, oh, okay, I got it. That person's official. Because I truly know what I'm talking about. So, yeah, Nars, it was a battle all the time because, like, I give you another situation. A friend of mine that used to work at Ubisoft, it's a while back, right? I was invited to this party that Ubisoft was having. So I went there, and a friend of mine pulled me to the side and was like, yo, bro, just to be real with you, like, reason why like a lot of companies and certain people was, you know, didn't really want to mess with you, like they looked at you as dangerous, man. Like, And then I was like, I ain't do nothing to nobody. What are you talking about? And he was like, bro, look around you. Look at everybody else. And then yeah. you look up in the mirror. Look yeah. at what's going on. And keep in mind, this is 2011.
Yeah.
2012. Like, it's a whole different thing. And it was like, yo, they not to somebody like you. They not this, they not that. So it was crazy. But on the flip side, not everything is all, you know, bad. It's a process. But on the flip side, you know, I want to give a big shout out to my man, Scott Fry. So Scott Fry, he's someone that used to work at Ubisoft, but now I believe he works at 1PR. And I'm at a Sega event, right? And as soon as I walk in the Sega event, I'm doing an interview. And then one of the dudes that I interview, I put him on my back. Like this, because I was so excited for the game. And then I got him on my back and he's holding a microphone. I'm interviewing him while he's on my back. Yo, we had a great time. They loved it. Sega started clapping afterwards. It was amazing. And then Scott Fry came up to me, was like, yo, you're exactly what we need in this industry. Like, period. Whatever you need, you tell me and I'll make sure you have it. But yo, it's like, we appreciate you. And I was like, wow, that's crazy. Thank you so much. And he's been A1 ever since. So the point I'm trying to make is every day is going to be a fight. And everybody's going to try to come at you or make you feel like you don't belong in certain areas, whatever. That's fine. Mm-hmm. You stay focused on what you love and you do what's right. And you're led with a positive energy, a positive aura. Regardless of what the outside noise do, at the end of the day, your impact will be forever. And that's why I'm able to stand here today from 2007 to 2020 and to sit up here and be like, wow, look at what I've done. And there's so much more to come. So I'm blessed. And yeah, it was a fight, man. It was a battle, yo. Real talk.
You know, being in that situation, right, it's like super contentious. We go back to what you said where you were like, dude was like, look around you, right? You don't look like any of these people here. Like, I can imagine dudes are wearing like polos, button ups, da da da. Maybe they look like me a little bit, whatever it is, right? At that moment where like you're in this position as you're developing your career as a journalist, a reporter, a talent, a personality, how did you not think I need to change something about who I am in terms of like my style or how I present myself to make this path easier? Because it could have went a different way, right? People could have been like, I don't fuck with like what he's bringing.
Right.
Like, how did you deal with that and how did you get over that hump?
Right. So I'm going to give you another example. I'm going to use Jay-Z again. So nobody would sign Jay-Z. Yeah. Think about this for a second, right? No record label would sign Jay-Z. Everybody said Jay-Z is not it. He's not talented. He's not this, right? Those same exact people begging Jay-Z for everything. Like, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Greatest rapper.
See, the thing is, people, like, even in hip-hop, you know, hip-hop is what you live. Rap is what you do. But hip-hop is what
Ooh,
you live.
I that's like your, that. That's your I lifestyle. Like that.
So with video games, in the game industry, anybody could play a game. But video games, the culture, that's a lifestyle. You eat, sleep, breathe it. It's different. You understand what I'm saying? So I know the culture. I am the culture. The purest, period. Mm-hmm. The realest. This is what I do since I was 4. My grandmother taught me, like I said. And my grandmother didn't just teach me games as a way to just get me out of her hair or something. She literally taught me about life through video games because there's a parallel here. Mm-hmm. So the parallel is this, and I'll get to your question as well. But the parallel is this. In video games, right, you got objectives, you got levels, you got different challenges. Same thing in life. You're going to let it beat you or you're going to defeat it. What you going to do? So when she put that in my mind at such a young age, it made me realize that, yo, there's a lot that I'm gonna have to do in life to accomplish and get over these levels, but the goal is to be able to bring things to me, bring it all to me. Because when I was to your question, when I looked around and I saw this, there was one moment when I was like, should I actually conform and try to like change up so I could fit in? Like literally, there was a moment where I thought about it, right? But I was like, nah, you know what I'm saying? Like nah, that's the devil talking. I ain't changing nothing. Like I love who I am. This all stemmed from my grandmoms. If I can't be me, I'm gonna be a prisoner of my success. Not having it. You know what I'm saying? I wanna be happy and enjoy everything I get and everything that I got. You feel me? So I said, you know what? If they don't understand it now, they're gonna figure it out later. And truth be told, if you look at the game industry right now, right, what do you see?
Hip
You
hop.
see, look at Logic getting his Twitch deal. What is that? Hip hop gamer. Or a lot of this stuff is things I've been talking about since 2008. All of it. The like y'all talked earlier about the AOC, which was amazing. I love seeing her do that, right? I had a conversation with Andrew Yang about the same thing, but his people didn't really understand what I wanted to do, so they kind of left it to the side. You know what I'm saying? Yo, bro, like all this stuff is not new to me. I already knew what was coming. You know what I'm saying? So that lets me know that what I was saying was right. But not only that, I made people buy into me. Because I can't control what you do or think, but I can control what I do. And I feel like what I'm doing, people's gonna want to be a part of. That's why when you saw the statement that was made earlier today with Alex Hutchinson, you see how it didn't go over so well. Because a lot of people in these position of power don't understand the power that they actually have. They don't know what they're doing in these positions. So when you try to alienate the culture, you're always gonna lose in that situation. So when I looked around and I saw what was going on, I was like, no, I'm not conforming to nothing because they never lived the life that I live. They don't understand. See, they got jobs. They do a job, which means that, like, if you look at IGN or any of these places, you know, big sites, that's great. But somebody get fired from there, so what? We just put somebody else there because everybody cares about IGN and not really the people that work there. Hip hop gamer has always been hip hop gamer. I never worked for a company ever in the game industry. I always did partnerships, whatever, whatever, but I've always been independent. Dame and Dash status. You understand? So everything, you know, rides on me. And I like it that way because it puts me in a position to control and keep what's pure about what we love and what we grew up on.
Now, I definitely want to a piggyback off of that because now you are Hot 97's gamer hip hop correspondent. You beautifully were able to meld two different worlds because that's literally your life. So for like any creators that are out there, specifically black content creators, they're going to come and be faced with the same sort of I guess stereotypes that you did. What would be some things you want to tell some any black creator or content creator that's out there about the trials and tribulations you went through and how to prepare for it so that they can get successful.
Oh, that's a great question. Great questions, y'all. So, in terms of you can never really get prepared for what somebody else is going to do because you don't know what they're going to do and how it's going to approach you. What I can tell you to be prepared for is knowing who you are and knowing what your deal breakers are, knowing what you're willing to do and what you're willing to not do, knowing to when to say no, and knowing that it's okay to say no. So I think it's just like how my man Gary V always say, shout out to Gary V and the whole VaynerMedia team. If you're not self-aware with who you are, you're gonna get lost in who somebody think you should be. Period. So you gotta know who you are before you even start. It's easy to get controlled when you see things that represent success. You know what I'm saying? So you want the bag so much that you'll lose everything. So I'll tell you the best thing I could tell any black creator or creator, period. Character is your currency. I'll say it again. Character is your currency. If you don't see yourself as the bag, and you don't see yourself as the actual value, nobody else is going to look at you as something worth investing in. Period. So until you understand your value and you got something to show for what that value actually is, then we can make moves. Until then, just like Jay-Z said, when you first come in the game, they try to play you. Then you sell a couple of records. Look how they wave to you. You understand what I'm saying? So from Marcy to Madison Square to the only thing that matters is just a couple of years. You understand what I'm saying? So you got to understand hip hop and gaming is a parallel. That's my life. I understand all of this. So what I encourage y'all, like, make sure this is embedded in your soul. Character is your currency. Never forget that. You know that and you learn that and study that, you'll be able to go into any room, any office, and make things not just work for yourself, but you'll be able to make things work for everyone involved. Because at the end of the day, the value isn't just about you. The value is also what you can give to others and leave as an impact. You want to make sure that you're like a safe point for everybody that you come into contact with. So if I'm not around, my presence is still felt because of what I was able to leave with people. And that right there is the most important thing I can tell you.
So piggying back. That's a great way to combo it. What I was going to ask, following up what Nars just said here, right? He's talking about character. You know, the big thing here is like you went from being this person who played video games and working with Hot 97, one of the most recognizable hip hop brands in the world, period. It is a fact, especially if you're in New York. Being in the game this long and creating that type of content with Hot 97, doing all these tours of doing all the interviews, E3s, GamesCon, Tokyo Game Show, whatever it may be, how do you still get up every day to go to work and do the same thing? Or maybe it's a different thing. Or what would you like to do?
Well, you know, it's so funny, like, you know, great questions. Yo, I love y'all. Yo, y'all fire. I'm just telling you, y'all fire, son. So, but that's the thing. Like, you just said, how do you get up in the morning to go work? It's not work for me. I know that's a cliche right now because people say it a lot, but it takes work. You know what I mean? Don't get me wrong. It takes a lot of work. But think about it like this, right? What I do is like breathing. It's another form of breathing. My life. So I was going to do it anyway. You know what I mean? Because I've been doing it. I think most people that have a passion for something, they get jaded. So I think the question is more so how to avoid getting jaded and being stripped from what you love so much because of the negatives of the world or the negatives that come with the things that you're trying to do positively. And I think that right there is more of the question. And the answer to me, I think that relies on that is figure out a way to change the game. See, you have a lot of people that's involved right now that really don't care about the game, but they benefit off of it. Yeah, that's like what Damon Dash talk about, culture vultures. You know what I'm saying? You got a lot of people in the game that's benefiting off of everything, but don't really want to give anything back because they don't really care about the industry. They just care that they could get money out of it.
Hutchinson.
Yeah, yo, that's a flex bomb right there. You know what I'm saying? So that's the problem. So I feel like the more you do to change the game, the more you can control how the game grows. Mm-hmm. And the more you do that collectively, now we have authority where anybody can't just come in and do anything. You could come in and show a whole boatload of money, whatever. You have to strip somebody of their power when they have no passion for what you're a part of. Mm-hmm. Ooh, I like that. You have to strip somebody of their power when they don't have passion of what you're a part of. When you do that, you'll be able to not only change the game, but getting up for work and everything like that, like you said, be that much more enjoyable because there's people that would make $200,000 a year but be miserable. Yeah. They get in a bag, but they dying faster because they miserable and they can't take it. They want to kill themselves every day. But then you got somebody that be like, you know what? Give me $100,000 if I can work with y'all every day.
Yeah.
If I can work with Nars and Gabe every day and just be through our thing, and if it means that I'm making $100,000 instead of $200,000, but I get that peace of mind and they get the growth and the happiness and stuff like that, come on, man, time is something you don't get back. So anything that I dedicate my time to, I want to enjoy it to the fullest. So that's what you got to act. You got to ask yourself, what's more valuable?
I love that. You know? I love that saying, culture vulture.
This first time you heard that, or you?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, wow. It's the first time I've ever heard that. But I want you to speak to that because now non-endemic brands are trying to come and encroach into gaming and esports, and they see that there's money and they start, you know, looking at different influencers, trying to scout them out, hey, you want to be a part of this? And I think you put it perfectly, you know, don't sign yourself up with a partner or with a brand that you yourself, like your own personality doesn't meld with. Now, obviously with what to attest to what Hutchinson says, as someone who's in the scene, how can someone who's already in the scene, who's already established, be able to not guard, but to protect the sanctity of the gaming industry so that people like Hutchinson, who obviously do not care about the ecosystem of gaming, nor the content creators who work really hard to create content, not only for themselves, but for consumers and for publishers and developers who also benefit from this as well.
So check this out, right? Glad you brought this up. So because of what's happening now, one of the things that somebody that actually works at Stadia said this, they was like, dag, you know, we was in the negative for a long time. Things started to get a little bit positive with the community, and then one tweet ruined it all. See, what people don't know, and this is, you gotta be careful, Alex Hutchinson, he doesn't work for Stadia. He works for a different company, but he's the creative director on a game that's on Stadia.
Oh, damn.
Also, he even got that wrong earlier. He was saying he was the creative director.
Well, that's what he says on his Twitter. He's creative director at Stadia. That's what he put.
Wow. Exactly. Okay. That's what he put. But what I found out, because there's a, I think there's a tweet like under it, and you got to check it out. But he's a creative director for a game studio out in Montreal. But he doesn't, but his game is on Stadia. So when you say creative director of Stadia, it's because his game is on there. So that alone right there made it seem like that came from
Google themselves. Meanwhile, they didn't approve of any of that. That's so popped.
Yeah. So when y'all were saying things earlier, I was like, I'm going to clear it up later. And stuff like that. But yeah. So now think about that for a second. So now, once they learn the game that he's attached to, culturally, we ain't going to support it.
Of course not.
Because it's one of those situations where we know your energy. We know who you are behind the scenes. So if y'all expect us to support somebody that's going to try to destroy what we're trying to... Think about it. Google Stadia, right, is a streaming platform. Why would you want to do anything to the actual streamers to rub them the wrong way when your platform is based off the...
They decide if that shit lives, bro, or dies.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It made no sense. So I was like, something ain't right here. Something ain't right. So
calm,
you feel me, right? It made no sense. So, but that happened. But the point I'm trying to make is those people that's in a position of power, you have to understand how this works, right? So if a person is in a position of power, you got to figure out what do they value? What do they power? And what I mean by that, I'm talking about the board. See, the thing is, like, I do research extensively. Like, I know a lot of people that's on the board of certain companies. I know the inner workings of how things work. And once I learned that, that's when I understood how, okay, this is cool, this is not cool. And if you don't want to change and make things right, that's fine. But once this start getting attacked, you're going to have to change. And the problem is, you're going to change because you're going to have no choice but to change. So it's not going to be taken as genuine. So you better do certain things now so it can come off correctly. If not, you're going to lose twice. So look, I'm telling you right now, Nas, a lot of these people are starting to get exposed in a major way. And when you see brands come to, different influencers and stuff like that, you got to be careful with that too, because people is looking at numbers, not understanding that, yo, internally, you could build an organization internally and get the right people on board as your team and create viral moments. It's not so much as a person that can go viral, it's creating moments. So shout out to Danny and Paris and the whole Game of Tag crew. But when they shot that video of Paris coming out after looking at Cyberpunk, and that joint went viral and everybody's clapping, and it was a viral moment. It was a beautiful moment. So you don't need a celebrity all the time to do something. You could just be creative with a moment, and the culture is going to embrace it. And when the culture embrace it, we are the authority. What we say go. And the companies are aware of that. So once that's in line, that's when things can get back to being better.
I wanted to go back to something you said a little bit earlier when we were talking about, you know, staying engaged with your work, right? You said these words, change the game. How are you changing the game in 2020 or forward? What are you trying to do? What would you like to do?
Oh, got you. So one of the ways I changed the game was I started a program called Gaming and Guidance. So this initiative started in 2017 with Logitech G. So just so y'all could know how the partnership was born. So I know like a lot of people at Logitech, a lot of the top level executives and everything. I've known them when they was with NVIDIA. You know what I'm saying? They've been, friends of mine. So when they came over to Logitech and they got the Logitech G brand, they was like really, really targeting the gaming industry in a big way, and they had this big vision. So they accomplished that, did all of that, but they wanted to do more. They wanted to be more than just a company. They wanted to do more stuff for the community because shout out to my boy Ujesh, but he told me personally how his daughters would go online and then right off the bat, just because the way they look or the fact that they girls, already the racism. They didn't even get a chance to play a match yet, and they already getting bombarded. It's ignorant. It's crazy. So when that happened, he was like, yo, I've been at this company for a long time. Like the next 10, 15 years, I don't just want to be the company that sold a whole bunch of products and made money. I want to do something. I want to do something that really means something that's going to change somebody's life. So started the gaming and guidance program. So how I changed the game was I became more than what you know me for. Out the gate, I was known as hip hop gamer, the person that talked about games and had a hip hop gamer show, right? Okay, bet. Then people started to learn more about me because they discovered that I'm actually a hip hop artist and I make songs for games and I really do this. So I'm not just a fan of hip hop. I'm an actual artist myself, legitimately. So they learned about that. So I changed the game with that by merging things more together. And then now with gaming and guidance, I'm doing more stuff in the community. So I got programs where, obviously pre-COVID, but I got programs where we got a 90-minute assembly where we go to the schools and we have an esports battle, then a panel discussion with the kids, and then we have a final battle where they get their prizes and we close out the assembly, and that has been incredible. Then I got the digital version of Gaming and Guidance where we use different scenes from video games and use it as a teaching tool about life and building relationships and character. That right there is incredible and groundbreaking. I got this other layer called Checkpoint where I actually go to people's houses. So shout out to my man Matthew Nunez. We did a segment on Channel 12 News. He lost his right hand. He has muscular dystrophy, so he lost his right hand, and he's a gamer. So you can imagine how
Yeah,
impactful this
not
was
being
for
able to
him.
just do this.
You understand me? So we got him the Xbox adaptive controller, and we gave it to him on the news. And it was the first time he smiled in 2 years in terms of what his father said. And he said, "This is amazing, not just for him, but for people like him in his situation." You know what I mean? So it, and he tried hard to say that because he's on a what's the name? Man, I forgot what they call it, but it's something that helps you read
Valid?
and talk and
Valid?
everything. Yeah,
Yeah.
I think that's what it is. Yeah.
Maybe.
So we did that, and then another thing is that we have something called One Community where we get the cops together, we get the elderly, we get young adults, we get kids, and we all come together and we have a conversation. We have scenarios that play out. We do role reversals. So sometimes a person that's not a cop plays the role of a cop, and like all it, like we do all of this stuff. So that's how I'm changing the game, by being more than what I was to impact communities and cultures so that they can have a better chance and better relationships and better character. So when they start out, things can be better for them and they continue to pay it forward and pay it forward and pay it forward. You understand? So that's one of the things out of other many things that I'm doing to change the game.
There was in that what you just said right now, something I wanted to ask earlier because you were talking about how you were growing up, grandma exposed you to video games, and you brought it back up. You were having specific scenes that you were showing in Gaming and Guidance, or I believe it was Save
Yeah.
Point or something like that, where you were like
Checkpoint.
checkpoint and like telling people like, maturing, building character. What game has been the most important game to you as a person in terms of your character?
Wow, yo, the questions is crazy tonight, son. I love it. Oh man, it's a couple of games I can say. I mean, well, it's more than a couple, but a couple that's like stuck out really crazy to me. So I want to give a nod to Don't Nod. Don't Nod Entertainment, man. Life is Strange.
Oh yeah, amazing.
That brought tears to my eyes,
Yeah.
bro. Tears. I'm not even joking. Brought tears to my eyes. Tell you why. In this game, you make a lot of decisions, and but she has the ability to rewind time and do that decision over. So it made me think about life and how many times people be like, dang, I wish I would have did it this way. I wish I would have did this. So there was a scene, spoiler alert, you know, but there was the scene in this game, right? Where, so one of the characters, her father died. And because her father died, she wore that anger of losing her father with her every day. So she wasn't the nicest or the pleasantest person to be around. You understand? So it's like her life was ruined. She couldn't be who she was because the death of her father. So the main character, she rewinded time so that her father didn't die. Mm-hmm. And when she did that, the daughter that was so broken because her father died, her father is back. But because of the timetable and the way things happen, by her father being alive, she wound up getting into a car accident.
Yep.
And her whole body was in a cast.
Yeah.
And she had to live her life in a wheelchair like this. Couldn't put her arms down to nothing. And she had one of them metal things that you screw on. And her whole body's like this. And she was miserable because she was like a vegetable almost. She couldn't do nothing. She couldn't live life. She was not it breaks you. Because the way they tell the story and the way they bring things together, it makes you think about your own life and decisions that you made, and you feel like they was probably the wrong decisions and you did it over. But that's how you know God is God. There's a reason why we're not in control the way he is. So, yo, man, it was just a powerful moment, and it was a realization moment. Because when I was younger, I used to say, I wish I was dead. When I was younger, like I would say like maybe 19 years old, I used to always say, I wish I was dead. Because my living conditions was really bad. And I used to always say, I wish I was dead. And now that I'm doing what I'm doing, and I've been able to make my grandma proud, and I managed to overcome those situations, I be thinking, what if that would have came true? Yo, it's moments like that. So people don't think about that, because a lot of people take things for granted. So that's one game. And then another game was The Division. Because The Division is very parallel to the life we're living in right now with COVID. And because with The Division, you know, they had the virus was attached to money. And that's a crazy metaphor, because money is like a virus. I've seen money destroy so many people, but it's not money. It's the love of money that destroys so many things. So we utilize these scenes to have dialogue, and a lot of kids, for them to see it, makes it hit home harder.
Yeah.
Because they're hearing it from somebody that they don't know like that, and they're seeing it in a way that they never even thought it would be revealed to them. And it makes them think, and it makes them change a lot of the times. Mm. And that's another thing, that's another way of changing the game, by actually using games to help change people for the better.
Mm, that's amazing. I love the fact that you're in all these projects and you're doing a lot to change the community, considering that there's still a lot to do. I feel like when it comes to the minorities, when it comes to Black, Asian, and when it comes to diversification in gaming, there isn't a lot for it. So you're a father, you have a little boy. So what does it mean to be a gamer dad, and to be able to kind of like showcase the next generation, like show them the old school games and be like, in my day, we had a Sega Genesis, it was 2D side scroll and none of this 3D shit, whatever. But talk to us about what it's like to be a gamer dad and how you want to pave the way for the next generation, considering that your son is also getting into gaming as well. Maybe you want to be an esports pro player.
Yeah, so you know what's so funny? Like, my son is hilarious, man. So first off, I asked him this question the other day. So his favorite, he loves Fortnite, he loves Roblox, but he loves the old Sonic the Hedgehog. He loves Sonic way better than Mario. You know what I'm saying? But he loves Smash Brothers too. He's nice in Smash Brothers. He's really good at Smash Brothers. So like, he loves games, period. He don't matter what it is, it could be old or new. He just loves to play. He enjoys play. But what's interesting is he enjoys the tablet more than the console. Mm. I asked him, like when you play Fortnite, would you rather the PlayStation 4 playing on the controller TV or the tablet? He's like, no, the tablet. The tablet, you can tap it like this, and I got more control over the whole screen. Like, you know, this and that. It's so crazy. I'm not sure if it's because he's, you know, about to be 7 years old and it's easier for him to do. I don't know. His hands are small. I don't know. But he enjoys the tablet more than the actual console. I was like, wow. So with him, one of the things that like I realized about, you know, being a gamer dad is what my grandmother taught me in terms of like teaching and discovering what they're into. So with my son, right, he loves building things. He's big on being creative. Like he built characters in Minecraft, and him and my nephew would build houses in Minecraft. Like he's really into that, and he has a creative mind. And he's also big on horror. He loves horror. So, you know, it's crazy, like just watching gaming, like how gaming is allowing me to discover what he loves. Mm-hmm. And that right there is such an incredible tool. So then I asked them about, you know, would you ever be interested in creating your own game and doing things like that? And not only is he interested in creating his own game, but he's interested in asking questions to developers right now on what they should do in games that he's playing on Roblox right now. Like, he's that in tune. So to me, if you think about it, you may not even be that in tune with your schoolwork, right? But the knowledge and the communication skills and just being aware of certain things through gaming and the way he's learning, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. Because you got to think about it, Nas, we ain't had that growing up. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Our gaming and our stuff was not like this. So I'm learning new things based on how they learn utilizing gaming. So being a gamer dad is fun, playing games, having fun and everything, but the discoverability of what he's into and the way he's into it through gaming has been the shocker to me.
What would you tell people, let's say like there's a parent out there who has a son or a daughter that's into gaming, but they themselves are not into gaming. What advice would you give them to try to use gaming as a means to discover their likes, their dislikes?
Investment. You got to invest in your kids. And if your kids are interested in something and it's something positive, you need to invest in that. Because you got to understand, a lot of kids, especially depending on the relationship that you build with your kid, they look to you for approval. So if you're like, I give you an example, right? One of the reasons why Michael Jordan became so great, because he had this hunger to have this approval from his dad. So anytime he didn't get approval from his dad, he's going to go out and be the best he can be to make sure his dad gives him that pat on the back.
Yep.
He didn't want nobody to be better than him as long as his dad saw him as the greatest. And that trait within Michael Jordan became self-observant to the point where he didn't need nobody else's approval. He needed his own approval. Mm. And he knows himself if he's giving it his all or not. So the relationship that he built with his dad led to him being self-aware, which pushed him to being great on his own. See, think about it. If you're only great because this person is around or this situation is there, then you're only as good as they allow you to be. Mm-hmm. But if you never become great on your own merit and what you allow yourself to be, you're going to fold and you're going to lose and you're going to break down. And I'll give you a prime example of that in terms of what I'm talking about right now. If you look at Floyd Mayweather, no matter what fighter you put in front of him, no matter what style, no matter how young, how old, how seasoned, how hard they hit, if they're quicker, no matter what it was, Floyd Mayweather always trained like he was poor and he never took any opponent for granted. So his respect to his craft and his respect to not cheating himself out of what he know he can bring out of himself in terms of pushing it to the limit is what allowed him to go undefeated, break every record, break every barrier, and be the best. And so I'm seeing that now with a lot of parents. We recently did a virtual summer camp, right? Shout out to the team over at Craft Keepers and the overall gaming and guidance. We did a virtual summer camp. And these parents didn't really know what to do with their kids in the summertime because of what was going on. So this virtual summer camp was like a savior for them. And then at the end of it, parents was crying. And they were so thankful that we was able to provide a program. Like, I got T-Pain on this joint, and I had kids that love games, but also love doing voiceover work and love doing music for games, singing gospel songs to T-Pain during this virtual summer camp. I had David Jaffe and and some of the people that work with Hideo Kojima on this joint so they can talk directly to the kids. All of that. Major experiences. And the parents started crying at the end. And they got like they got certificates and everything. At the end, we had a ceremony. It was crazy. So at the end of the day, invest in your kids in terms of what they're into as well. Because things is different from the way you grew up as a parent. And I'm pretty sure that you don't want to live a life where you're miserable because you're trying to do what somebody told you instead of following your dreams and passion. You have to invest in those dreams and see where it goes. Because at the end of the day, if you can live a life where what you do every day, you can be proud of, you're passionate about, and you have happiness within it, you will actually live a life instead of being a prisoner of a system.
So we all know, like, recently as it gets later, New York starts looking like old Brooklyn again. So there's two things we have left on this agenda today. Since you've been working on projects, you got a new song that just dropped. All right.
Yeah,
you dropped your new beat, your new track. Well, I think you have a sample of it here too, right?
Yeah, so I guess y'all have to play it because I put it in the the Discord joint. So Watch Dogs. So let me tell you, I'm such a fan of Watch Dogs. I did a song for the first Watch Dogs. I'm a character in the second Watch Dogs, Watch Dogs 2, and I did a song for that. Shout out to my boy DNA, the battle rapper, URL Smack. You already know what it is. Me and him did the song together. And now we got Watch Dogs Legion. There's some things that I'm trying to do with it, you know, with Ubisoft. They heard it. They loved it. So there's some things I'm trying to work, you know, with it. But I wanted to let people check it out for the first time. So, you know, Watch Dogs Legion. So I guess if y'all could cue it up, a little bit of it, let's do it.
Yeah, right now Zune is, she's wiring it up.
Alright, dope.
Do you hear it? Oh, no, she's got it playing outside of the speakers. Just so everybody know, people have been trying to, you know, there's been like internet gnomes trying to mess with our show today.
it's been kind of crazy, but we got it though. So like that. Once again, thanks for having me, man.
No, of course. I mean, this has been an amazing episode. Like, you know, learning more about you, what you're doing, your projects, your mission, you know, your values in life has been like super fucking dope to see. Like, I've been really fucking engaged with this the whole time. I've been like, this guy's dropping fucking gems.
This is not Gabe normally. Wow. Normally he's a lot louder, to be quite honest. So that I can attest to.
Definitely screaming into the mic a lot. Yeah. More.
Wow. Thanks, man. Like, I can't see the chat or anything, but I hope anybody that's there got some sort of value out of our conversation. But like I said, man, that goes back to y'all questions today was incredible. I mean, incredible. And y'all just sync well together. I love it. I love being on it.
This is why I think we should do the fusion.
We're not doing the fusion thing. I'm sorry. That's I cannot do that dance fusion, with you because it is reserved for me and somebody else. It's unfortunate. I would be betraying.
But you did do it once with me on Cheddar Esports. So
I did do it there. But then we're you know, I broke my Shigami. I broke my values.
I have a question. While we getting the song, you know, queued up, I want to throw a question out there. Then y'all can stop me when the song is ready.
Go ahead, yeah.
But with Cheddar Esports, here's something that I thought about because it's the same thing I felt about E3. I'm like, just because obviously, sorry that, this happened, but, with COVID and everything like that, just because that happened, it doesn't mean you stop.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? You figure it out. You find another way. Mm-hmm. And to me, I really like that show. I really, really, really loved what was happening over there. So when that stopped, did it stop specifically because of COVID, or was there other things going on where it was gonna stop anyway? Share that details. If you can't, it's cool.
I could just give a little lick because I know a couple of the producers and stuff, but there was some other things that were gonna happen, but COVID kind of just like expedited the process. That's about it. I mean, that's all I really can be said about it.
That's cool. Because to me, I feel like
it was the number one performing show on Cheddar, by the way.
Yeah.
It was Cheddar Esports was the number one thing on the Cheddar brand.
Yo, see, here's what I'm saying. Here's the way I'm looking at it.
You ready? Song.
All right, let's go.
Okay. Out of violent action.
Watch Dogs.
Hip hop gamer. Watch dogs. It's time. See we rolling the pack. We know Noli Pop won't be bust back when it yet. It's the watchdogs, us against the world for a reason. You committed treason, and why create the Legion? Watchdogs, see we rolling the pack. We know Noli Pop won't be bust back when it yet. It's the watchdogs, us against the world for a reason. You committed treason, and why create the Legion? Game one, Shot Town is where it all started. Stirring up high over the jack, made me a target. Hackable profits. See, I thought I'd get away with it, but now it's personal, you put family on your grave list. Patience, I'm over that. War ready, my format. Blueprint and pistol whip, you clip, you can't respond to that. Took a lot away from me, but now I'm gonna get it back. Welcome to the Legion, my team is where your fear is at. Back down, never ever, preparing for stormy weathers. Fully loaded, fully show it, the bullies bully got better. So whoever is planning to do all the damage, remember I'm the man that'll answer your question. The cancer, the killer is camping. And I got a maneuver, you got a shooter, so I'll shoot your permanent. Death is your future, the loser can never return. It's the end of an era. Welcome to the new story, it's dead set forever. Whoever you wanna be, whoever you wanna choose, however the story go, the decision is up to you. Feeling unbelievable like the spirit of pity. I'm from Brooklyn, but the battles are thunder, so come and get me. Watchdogs, see me rolling the pack. We know Noli Pop won't be bust back when it yet. It's the watchdogs, us against the world for a reason. You committed treason, and why create the Legion? Watchdogs, see we rollin' a pack. We don't only pop, won't be bust back when it yet. It's the watchdogs, us against the world for a reason. You committed treason, and why create the Legion? Big face, fast cars, gangsters and grandmas. The city's under fire, landmines to change the landmarks. All that it took to leave you shook. Here's the domino effect, one shot shatters the books. It's tax time, tax lines, opposition and flatline. The new wave will now rise, cause we all on the same side. Dead set as we set, the best bet for our shine. We take over, sick cold, as ransoms we place over. Fate now, your face down, you get up, I break down. Then break more, then change laws, then restore, I compound. My town, I run it, watch doors, keep it 100. I can be anybody to anybody who wanted you ready. Let's get it on, I'm weathering every storm. Hold up, just got a new character in my phone. So now my arsenal is remarkable for me. Bombing you, abomination, patiently waiting to do more harm to you. And I'm not foreign to all of everything I have witnessed. I'm on a mission to make all the bloom boom out of business. And when I finish this, you'll see competition defeated. Hip-hop gamer, the leader of the Legion. Watchdogs, see me rolling the pack. We know Noli Pop won't be bust back when it yet. It's the watchdogs, us against the world for a reason. You committed treason, and why create the Legion? Watchdogs, see we rolling the pack. We don't only pop, won't be bust back when it yet. It's the watchdogs, us against the world for a reason. You committed treason, and why create the Legion?
I love it.
I feel like I've been in Bart. I feel like I've been indoctrinated. Like, all I'm going to hear is Watch Dogs.
Yo, seriously.
Watch Dogs, Legion.
We got a question from chat. Is this song going to be on Spotify? Because some people want to put it on their playlist and be included.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
You know what's so funny? I got so much music that I just never, like,
put out,
released. So, yeah.
You need a SoundCloud.
This one, I will. Like, actually. Mm-hmm. So, that's why I'm in talks with Ubisoft to do something special. But yeah, like, soon as I, November 12th, when the PlayStation 5 come out, mm-hmm. something's gonna happen. Something's supposed to happen. And after that, then, like, that should be the day where it goes on Spotify and everywhere else, and people download yeah. it and stuff like that. But yeah, but there's other stuff coming too. Like, in 2021, and I know I said this before, but I'm in a position, different position now. But in 2021, the musical side of me, I think it, a lot of people may be surprised.
Oh, damn, you dropping an album? Like that. Is that what it is? Hello?
Actually, you know what's so funny? I wouldn't even drop albums anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to drop movies.
Ooh.
Like
Kanye like, Runaway Status, when he put that out for My Beautiful Dark, and it was like a 30, 45 minute
music video. Nah, I feel you, but nah, I'm talking more like Jay-Z's Streets is Watching. You know what I'm saying? From back in the day. Like, see, the thing is, you have to understand how content is consumed. So I want to drop movies. Mm. And what I mean by that is, I'll give you a great example. So when you look at the music industry and the music business, right? You know, They're not buying tapes. They're not buying CDs, not buying vinyl. Everything is more streams, right? So, you know, I get it. But the value of a song, it's like here today, gone tomorrow, depending on how it's marketed and all this other stuff. But if you go on Netflix and you watch a movie or a documentary or something like that, you know, it has a stronger effect because now you get to understand more of what the project is telling you.
Yeah.
So what I want to do is create a scenario where I can actually have my music as film and put it into that market, because then to me, I think it'll open more doors on how music should be distributed now. Because if there's no story, I'll give you a great example in terms from a video game analogy. So if you look at games like Halo or God of War, Uncharted, like, we know the characters. We build relationships with them. Mario, Sonic, we built a relationship with the character. And that right there is why it's important. That's why people dress up as certain characters, cosplayers and stuff like that. They build some sort of relationship with that visual. So with music, you can hear something, it could be fire or whatever. But if you think about when 50 Cent came out with Get Rich or Die Trying and you had the DVD attached to it, so many people brought that album faster because they wanted to see the story. Because you ain't going to get everything on music. You got to be able to see visually, what is he like in the studio? What is he like in the street? He got shot 9 times. I want to see where that happened at. Like, there's so much more to tell from the visual and the story and the person. So I just, everything that I do, I want to do it in a way that you've never seen before, especially coming from the gaming background. So that's what I want to do. I want to take my music and make a movie out of the music. So think about this for a second. Watch Dog Legion, right? Now imagine being from the hood. You know, you got all types of so-called legions. You got Bloods, you got Crips, you got NYPD. You got, you know, all types of stuff, right? There's so many legions around here. But then we got common enemies. You know what I mean? We got so many things that's going on. So when you think about Watch Dogs Legion and what it actually means and what it's saying and what you're doing, especially in this latest game, it's very, very parallel and realistic to the real life that we live. So imagine if we was able to watch that and there's a song that speaks about that. Yeah. Like when I said gangsters and grandmas, because you got a grandma that'll run up on you because you could use an NPC in the game. There's so much being said in that one little bar, but if you visualize it, you can appreciate it more and people invest in what they appreciate.
So just to wrap up the show now, right, because we just had a recorded track, right? I need to get a freestyle verse. And I got,
I can give you some.
I got a beat. So you got to go with the beat. All right.
Okay, cool. Well, if I can hear it, because
you should be able to hear it.
Because I couldn't hear the.
Oh, matter of fact, look. I'm going to send you the beat, right? The beat right now is actually in the Discord group.
Okay, let me see if I could do this.
And I'll give you a countdown.
Okay, send it.
It's right there in the general. You see it?
Oh, the friend of foe?
Yeah.
All right, let me see if it'll let me do it.
Okay. You don't have to share. Just, can you hear the music?
I can hear it, but I'm gonna tell you right now.
What's
up? It's the BPMs is slower because the video will get taken down if it's an exact, like,
I don't give a fuck. That video would actually get taken down. So is that the actual?
No. What it is when you play it, it's extra, extra slow. So I can't hear it like how it's meant to be heard because YouTube would take it down if it was the actual.
We just talked about DMCA. Like,
I know, right? You know what? Yeah. Look.
Well, I mean, I can hit you with something. Check this out.
All right, go.
Yo, check it. Yo. Fatality to anyone who battles me. Murder every round, there's a casualty. Every character shatter your anatomy. This a romance game, the pain, agony. Shoot the spear out, x-ray your faceplate, scorpion. Leave you in blood in front of hell's gates. Roar back, real talk. However you wanna get it, wanna live it, wanna spit it. You don't really wanna feel it. I'm burning up, waiting for the massacre. Mortal Kombat 10, await challenges. Got my mind right, the fighters when I'm going at the flawless victory. Viciously attacking ya. Breakdown competition with the venom by the liver. Similar to the Rikers, but they hide it from the villains. Killers, my position is the truth. Nothing to lose, Brooklyn Zoo. You know how we do. Growing up, we had the arcade on lock. Shang Tsung, switch shots, pop off. Show you the true meaning of life lock. Doubt me, give you that cane or rip your heart out. Sub-Zero feeds your blood, nothing to talk about.
Keep
going. Get them, they want the world, really heal them. Never miss a target, I'm the hardest. And you really feel them, pump up, just go down. I'll leave right there.
Damn, I'm holding my breath over here too. Shit.
Yeah. Oh man.
Good job.
But yeah, this is what we do. This is what we do, man.
That was great.
Word up. So, but yeah, like I do this, like for real.
I love it. Fire. I'm good.
You good?
I'm good.
All right.
Go.
Now, you know,
so, I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, dude, this is an amazing show. As we said earlier, like, we got to have you on again. Next time we'll have the music situation figured out. Maybe we'll debut another song. But yo, hip hop, as always, you keep it 100, you keep it a buck. That was a beautiful episode, beautiful interview. Thank you so much for coming on. Where can people find you online?
Yo, man, just Google me, bro. Hip hop game. I'm everywhere. That's the easiest thing I can say.
He's the only person who's going to pop up if you put that up. So don't worry about like finding some fake persons on.
Yeah, literally like. But I ain't gonna front, yo. I heard Nas talking about that blue check earlier, so I need to figure out how to get that now. You know what I'm saying?
Don't ask me how I got the blue check, girl, because I don't even know.
She's doing something.
I gotta figure that out because like with some of the things that's gonna be coming up, and I've seen some things too. Like I've seen like a couple of hip hop gamer imposter accounts. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, yo, you know. If that's all it take or whatever, but I gotta get that now.
So one thing we do at the end of the show every time is that we like to find someone to raid. Do you have someone that you know right now that's streaming live that we can raid?
Oh, you know what? I think Big Cheese.
I think
Big Cheese is streaming right now. Hold on, let me see. No.
We didn't raid. He's Big not streaming
right
time.
Now. But Black Oni is playing Among Us right now. Black Oni.
Can you drop the Twitch into the Discord so Zoom can queue it up?
Yeah. Let me go get that right now, son.
Also,
in the meantime, we'll wrap everything up, guys. So we are super late at 368. Be sure to check out all of our other goodies. We have tons of videos on youtube.com/368. You can check us out there. You can also check us out on Instagram and Twitter at 368. Super Late now has their own social accounts, so be sure to follow us at Super Late 368. It's literally just Super Late 368, Instagram, Twitter. We just made a Twitter account, so go follow us there because we got some great things over there for you. Mwah, it's delicious. What else? Did I miss anything?
No, I think you
I think it up. Oh, if you want to join our Discord, the Discord is in chat. We do have some community events coming around. We'll do some crazy cool things. Also, we'll do like little sneak peeks and giveaways through Discord, so be sure to tune into that so you know when all that goes live. Did I do it?
You did it.
Yay!
You did it better than anybody's ever done.
I am the best host.
So, did we get the raid going, Zune? We got that? All right, so get the fuck out. Turn the stream off.
Bye, guys. I love you. Thank you, Hip Hop, for coming
out.
We'll see you guys next week, every Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Peace.